You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.
Now, as you may be aware by now, we've been searching for the 100 most powerful women in Britain today. The first Woman's Hour Power List will be published on Tuesday, when you'll be able to hear a special edition of the programme from the Radio Theatre of London's Broadcasting House. Well, over the past couple of months, Eve Pollard and her team of judges, Priti Patel MP, Val McDermid, Dawn O'Porter, Baroness Una King and the former Woman's Hour editor Jill Burridge have been making their decisions. Today and tomorrow we'll bring you a selection of their deliberations as they debated the relative influence of some of the women you nominated. Today we join the panel as they wrestle with defining what power is. First, Dawn O'Porter, who joined the gathering early in the morning from Los Angeles.
Well, I thought I knew before we started this. I thought I had a clear idea of what was powerful. And as I went through all the nominations, I found that it got more and more blurred and actually really hard to define power. I always thought power is the ability to make people listen to what you have to say. I just had to go by who I think has reached the most people. To me, money isn't power. To me, power is an attitude or using the position that you're in. Without meaning to be too stereotypical, I do think that power with men is associated with having money, and I think it's very, very different for women.
Let's talk about what Dawn was saying. I disagree with Dawn because I've been in a powerful position. You could have the most exciting idea as an editor of a newspaper, which sometimes I did. If you don't have the money, if the proprietor of the newspaper, or the owner of the newspaper, won't give you the money to do that idea, then you realise your power is quite limited. And I love the idea that, you know, the voices you hear and the things that influence you may change the world, but I actually believe it's women who can steer things to change, to alter. It's not about perceptions, it's about how life really is. Pretty.
I absolutely agree, and also alongside power comes this whole concept of influence. The two, in my view, are hand in hand, and I think if you look at some of the names we have looked at, of course, what we don't get is their own backstory and how they've actually navigated and negotiated their way to become either influential or powerful. There are various factors, such as the degree of advocacy, the ability to negotiate, perhaps in quite a male environment, to open the levers, the financial levers perhaps, that actually enable them to go on and make a real difference, become influential and then become powerful ultimately.
Yeah, change for me is the big thing, that if you're powerful, you are in a position to initiate and carry through change, big change. And I agree with you, finance is crucial.
And carrying
through. You may not like it, but it is. And you can't carry through anything in terms of leadership, change. Anything that involves power involves all these elements. When I was looking at the list and what a difficult job it was to sort of get it down to 100, it became a sort of thing of people's ability to negotiate their way through a very difficult thing. So a lot of, for instance, artists, authors, playwrights, I left off my list because they're working on their own and they are influential, but when it came to a definition of power, I felt that that was where I had to say, well, they're influential, but for me, they're not powerful.
Val, as a writer.
Well, I came at this initially thinking that there are kind of two definitions. You can start with quite a narrow definition of power, which is the kind of people who have hire and fire, the kind of people who have money, who have their hands on the levers of power. But that I found quite unsatisfying, and I wanted to come at a broader definition. And really what I suppose I ended up with was the idea of power being something that changes people's lives. And that can be, I believe, done by artists, by musicians, by writers, because those are things that they might change lives on an individual level, but they make seismic changes in people's lives. And I can point to my own life, and I can point to a specific book, a specific weekend that I read that changed my life. Also for me, though, I think the really exciting thing about being part of this panel has been the range of women's power that has been evidenced. And one of the struggles I found was trying to find a negotiation, if you like, between achievement and power. Mm. There's a lot of women who have made extraordinary achievements in all sorts of fields, particularly in scientific field, medical field. And I'm not sure in my head how that equates to power. They've certainly, they have changed people's lives with what they've done. Yes. But that's kind of...
I think one of the most interesting things is differentiating between hard power and soft power, and I think the nature of what soft and hard power is has changed with the internet, with social media. I am still, probably because of my job or background, drawn more to the hard power. I want to know who can change what the Prime Minister's going to do. What's interesting for me is I know we have to look at people who do that through less traditional routes. So it's interesting, for instance, looking at Mumsnet and how they have what might first of all been classed as soft power, but is very rapidly becoming hard power. I mean, they're changing the way people, mums especially, obviously bring up British kids.
We have, most of us have thought hard power is very important for hire and fire, being in control, but some soft power actually changes the world. Now, you have somebody like the wife of the future king, Duchess of Cambridge. Now, she's only on one person's list.
Well, this is where I found influence and power really difficult to separate. I think when it comes to speaking to a younger audience, she is powerful. Now, I know that the royal family as a whole is impartial. And is that powerful? I'm not sure. But maybe on a level of just fashion. The fact is that if the Duchess of Cambridge does something, people look. She sells millions of copies of whatever paper she's in. It was one that I struggled with right until the last minute.
Do we think she does not have power yet?
I think it's an issue of ownership. I don't think that she is yet in a position to own the power that she will undoubtedly have down the line. I think she's still very much a creature of her position, if you like. And I don't know that she has the ability yet to assert what she thinks, what she feels. I have no sense of knowing who Kate Middleton is and what she thinks and what she believes and what she thinks is important.
Too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, actually. There is no doubt, as Dawn said, you know, she will influence trends, you know,
fantastic,
fashion
yeah.
and things like that. She will celebrate British brands around the world.
And also now having a baby,
absolutely.
She'll influence women about how that baby's brought up.
The real test will be, I think, in 10, 15 years' time down the line.
What we're creating with this list is a snapshot of the most powerful women in the UK the moment.
Correct.
And it's the at the moment thing that you had to say, okay, does that work for this person or that person? And that's why I felt for the Duchess of Cambridge, she's very new to the job and not in a position where she can wield real power.
You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.